here. Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order at 5:01 p.m. on Tuesday, January 11th, 2022. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Penrod.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on December 28th. Were there any changes or corrections?
Not for me. I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes as presented from Tuesday, December 28th. 2021.
I'll second that.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up, we'll go to Sean and his presentation regarding the 69 kV upgrade. Oh, I didn't turn it on, but. Still be good with the recording. Quite a contraption you have there.
We can all plug it to get there.
Several conversations on what this project entails, but we haven't really had a chance to talk to you guys about why we're spending the money we are and what the benefits are to our community. So, in just a moment, we're going to try to award the bid for the North Substation and Distribution Circuit Relocation Project. So, just to kind of give you an overview of what we're looking at here. This here is the Whitley Station from AEB. This is where Columbia City receives all its power. This is where the 69 kV is going to come in eventually. Currently it's 74.5. But as you can see, we've got two different colored lines here. We've got two feeds from AEB. They feed all the way around our city, feed our substations, south, west, and north. We have an open point right here. So what happens is we feed this substation off of feed number one, these two come off of feed number two. In years past, we drop one of the AEP feeds. We have to dispatch a lineman. We've got to go to that open point. You've got to open an open point. You've got to close an open point. That, in years past, has been an hour, hour and a half process, if it's after hours. During the day, it's closer to 45 minutes, but everybody's out of power. Half of our customers will be out of power at that point. Fast forward to what we're talking about today is the North Substation Entrance Project, where I showed you before those two lines come to the open point. Right here is our open points currently. It feeds from one side, feed number one, feed number two. What this project we're doing today is looking at is we're going to be bringing both of those feeds into this substation up north. There's going to be an automatic transfer switch located in that substation with relays and other stuff that we don't really need to talk a whole lot about, but they'll talk to the other substations. They'll see where the problem is. What's going to happen is if I lose this AEP feed number one, it's going to automatically open up and close over here. We pick all of our customers back up within a second. So we go from an hour and a half to maybe 3 hours, if it's 2 in the morning, to less than a second, our customers will be out of power. For a homeowner, it's great, but for industry and commercial, it's wonderful. That's huge. It's absolutely huge. Your production, especially with today's laser and computer automated machinery, I mean, it's great. So that is the goal of this. The first obstacle, obviously, is the loss of AEP feed causing a lengthy large-scale outage. This is our solution, self-healing. We have relays in there, they're gonna talk to each other. What it's gonna do is it's gonna make it heal itself in less than a second. Option number two in this project, here's that same north substation we're just talking about. we have this line. This is the main feed to all of our rural customers. It goes right through the back. This is the veterinary's office. This is Schrader's.
State Road 9.
State Road 9 is here. Years ago, before my time, this used to be the entrance to our substation. That alley was vacated. I don't know why, but it was. So they could build more storage there. So now we have no access to our main rural feeder. Goal, restricted access, not located in the right of way anymore. We have a prescriptive right of way, which means we can do certain things, we can occupy, but we can't improve. Goal, the solution, relocate that circuit there to the alley behind where it's located right now, back out to State Road 9, going north on State Road 9. Once we cross State Road 9, we'll go north and feed that rural line. This is all accessible. This is the current feed, so we'll have dual circuits on that distribution line right there. What that will do for us is we can retire that line that's going through the area with no access. We can also put open points in. We're going to put one right on this pole right here, where we can tie these two together. So if we lose a breaker, all I got to do is close this in. This breaker picks up all our rural line. Once again, reducing our outage times. Great project for the community. This is what it's going to look like. So we can put all three primary circuits in a neutral in an area the size of about 30 inches, which now it's 8 foot. So we're going to have one on one side of the pole, one on the other side of the pole. That's what that's going to look like. That's what this project's for. We're not only eliminating a problem, which is we have no access to that line back there, but we're also making it better, more reliable. This wire is Hendrix wire. It's insulated. Squirrels can't get into it. Trees can't get into it. So it's going to be a great asset, great improvement. Just real quick, I want to go through why we're doing this project. We've all talked about it a little bit. I just didn't think we had done a good enough job explaining to you guys why we're doing this project. That brings us to the North Substation Award. We got all the bids in. Spectrum Engineering did review them. They did make a recommendation. Their recommendation is to go with Kent Power.
That is in your packet.
Okay. That is in the packet. I would bring it up, but it doesn't currently want to go with, I have to correct it. But it's in your packet. We got four bids. We sent it out to 12 contractors. We got four bids back. If you remember right, last time we did a project like this, we got one bid. Mm-hmm. And that was didn't work out great for us, but the project did get completed. They did a great job. It just took twice as long as what we had hoped. Ultimately, we weren't in a huge hurry, so it did save us some money. But in the long run, so the recommendation from Spectrum Engineering is to go with Kent Power in the amount of $741,660. If you look at the other bids, there's only one that's even close. I had Spectrum go in and communicate with them what the reason why they're able to complete this project at the lower cost is they have this crew on staff to do both the substation work and the distribution work, whereas some have contracted out. And that's why they came in lower than everybody else. So that is our recommendation, my recommendation as well. If you have any questions about the project, feel free to ask. But yeah, we've worked on this for over a year now. This is all part of the 69 KV project as well. You know, some of this stuff needs to be done anyway. So why not make it a permanent, long-term benefit to the city?
So is it a multi-phase because of the difference in upgrading the voltage? Or do you do one and come back and do the other?
Right. So this is has two different types of work. It has transmission work. It's got distribution work. It's got substation work. What they're planning on doing, I told them I didn't want to drop any load in the middle of winter or the middle of summer, our two highest demands. So they're going to do part of the work in the fall and the rest of the work in the spring, basically. If they can get to it this coming spring, they're going to drop. But Kent Power put a timeline out and everything. They're planning on being done by fall, is what their plan is. But with different atmosphere and landscape of the way you can get materials and help these days, some of these steel pieces for the structure of the substation may take 8 months to get in. So, but that's the goal, is to have it done this fall.
Okay. Questions? Sean, is that it?
That is it.
Okay, great. Thank you. That was really helpful even for me, and I've been, I won't say neck deep, because that's how deep Sean has been, but I'll say at least ankle deep in this project, so. So in front of you is the is what Sean had discussed, which is our letter from our engineer, Spectrum Engineering, with the recommendation of going with Kent for the North Substation upgrades in the amount of $741,660. I will make a motion to go with their recommendation for the North Substation with Kent Power. $741,660 as presented, but also note that they did have something else in here.
Yeah, we have resolved that issue.
Okay, so that's not an issue.
Yes. Yeah,
okay,
correct.
So that is my motion.
Second.
Motion second. Further discussion.
Question.
Yes.
Could we? Is there any value to make that not to exceed, and just to have a little bit? Say discussion if it goes up and over.
Yeah, so the issue is this. Quotes are good for about 3 days right now. And that's my fear, is they go out and get quotes, they award them, and by the time they deliver, they adjust the price on them. That's happened to us already. If you order a transformer at, say, $13,000, they'll tell me, that's the price today. But when you get it, we're going to adjust the price to current market value. So it's not right, but what do you do about it? I mean, everything across the whole nation right now, we're facing the same thing. I agree. If my feeling is, if they need more than that, or if the prices adjust, they need to come back to us to get it. And I'll bring it to you guys and say, hey, this is what the cost of material has adjusted. At that point, it may really, our hands are tied. We need to move forward with the project. We have to have this done before the 69 kV conversion from AEP. I've got a meeting with them the 25th of January to discuss how far along they are, but they're having the same material issues we are.
Right.
So I think they're another year off anyway. But yeah, it's going to be difficult to tie them down to a number, but that's the goal.
So basically, we say we're accepting the bid, and if it does go above that, you'll bring it back to
us. Yeah, I would like to bring it back to you if it's going to go significantly above it. I mean, if it's $1,000 or something, I'd get it.
That's that, and I would say that's my concern. My concern is you know, if something comes in $200 over, I don't want him have to come back. So
uh-huh.
I would even be, and I guess I would ask for your opinion on this, but I would maybe put a not to exceed of $745,000. That would give about, what, $3,400 worth of wiggle room, and I know that's not a lot, but at least it gives. Is that fair, or is that too little? I mean,
In the long run, it's fine. $700,000 project. I know there's just the relays they have to purchase. They're supplying all the materials. That's the other thing I guess I didn't. They're supplying all the materials for this project, except for the materials that you guys have already approved. So we won't have any more surprises. We shouldn't. Because they're supplying all the materials should be in here. Now, that being said, it also puts them in a position where bids are only good for a week, so they have to get the quote out, get the bid in, you know, get their PO in right away. But yeah, that's.
So let's say you order something and on today, and you get it next week, and they say we're adding. How much do they usually add? What percent?
So it's not. It's when it's 6 months, 8 months. Like transformers right now are a year. Just a standard pole transformer is a year out. But you don't know a year from now what it's going to cost you to build that transformer.
Uh-huh.
So what they'll tell you is, this is where we're starting with the price.
and when we get ready to ship it, we'll send you an updated price.
So we have an account that it's a reserve account, I guess, to pull from, because if we don't,
right,
we're subject to losing the material we have to somebody else.
Right, and that's where they have you. If you don't want to pay it, that's fine. There's 12 people waiting in line to accept that material. So
in the bid, everything is separated out, like this thing costs this much.
Yep.
This.
Yep,
so
relays are $20,000. This is, it's all
so
material.
What if we say there's a
Okay, so here's my suggestion.
Okay.
Because I see where you're... Okay, so my suggestion is that we approve the bid for $741,660, and then we give Sean $10,000 of allowance that he can approve, and then anything over that has to be brought in front of the board for additional approval for any amount over that amount.
Okay, where I was actually going was a percentage of each item.
Oh, gotcha.
But either way.
Because that could mean if it's a transformer that's, $75,000, 5% of that's going to be a lot different than 5% of a bolt,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about that? What are you feeling, Walt?
Well, I think it's a good compromise, and I think we're all saying the same thing. We know it's best for the community, and so there is some risk, not only for us, but for all involved. And I think if we give him that leeway of that reserve money, knowing he's got a cap at the 10,000 mark, and if he needs more, then he can come back and request more and justify it. So.
And looking at my budget, I'm going to try to keep him as low as I
can. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to amend my motion to approve the bid for Kent Power in the amount of $741,660 for the North Substation upgrade, and include that Sean has the ability to go up to 10,000 over due to
inflation
prices, etc., part prices. And then anything over that, he'd obviously have to come back here.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that.
Can you summarize that, Rosie, in the notes? Okay, thank you for the amended second. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Sean. Great work. Okay, so next up is Giving Gardens. And as you'll remember, Giving Gardens came in front of us to discuss the opportunity of the property right next door, because they want to build the shelter or whatever that is, right? But it would encroach effectively on our property. So the conversation that we had was whether or not we wanted to effectively just deed over that property to Giving Gardens, with the rationale of most of it's wetland or at least lowland. We don't have any interest in doing anything with it. We probably aren't going to do anything with it. We're currently maintaining it, so it's actually costing us money.
Mm-hmm.
And that they would be willing to plant prairie grass or something in there, but kind of it gives them the pathway to that wooded area back there so that they can do more nature education type things. You remember, my concern was I would hate to give this property over to them. They plant prairie grass, and then we turn around and give them an ordinance violation because their grass is too high, right? So I talked to Marcia about that. She kind of dug in, and she said there's exemptions specifically regarding educational type things. So in our ordinances, it does say it's the discretion of the city, of course, but it also says that If the tall grass is located with a natural or developed forest which does not create an unusual threat to health or safety of adjacent landlords or landowners. Number two, it's located within vacant, open, and undeveloped lands or fields which are located more than 150 feet from occupied property. There's some properties nearby. I'm not sure we'd get to 150 feet, but maybe the actual tall grass area would. And then also, and then number three, it's located on occupied land that abuts vacant, open, or undeveloped property or natural undeveloped forest land, which this would, and which is located more than 75 feet from an occupied structure within a residential zoning district that's not located with blah, 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 blah. So point of the matter is she says we have obviously broad latitude and leeway and believes that the exceptions give us the ability that this would not be a problem. So the other thing obviously would be when we donated, if you will, the first property that Giving Gardens currently is on, we did put a reverter clause on there so that if something happened to them, they went defunct, whatever, they couldn't just sell it, make money and leave, if you will. I mean, they live here, so they're not going to leave, but there'd be a reverter that it would revert back to the city since we donated it. So, and that's within a certain time frame. I don't remember how many years, but it's years. So, obviously, she's suggesting, and I would suggest as well, that if we were to donate that property, we would put the reverter clause on that secondary property as well. So, that. I think that's a summary of our conversation the last time when they presented two meetings ago, I believe. So with that, I don't know if you have strong opinions one way or another on that, but I would make the recommendation that we just donate that property that's directly to the sort of north of Giving Gardens there, kind of north, northeast-ish. For their educational purposes that they're doing.
Is that a motion or recommendation? Oh, yeah.
Well, it's recommendation for discussion, so it's okay. Not a motion yet because okay. I want to hear what you all have to say about it.
Is this a corporation?
It is a 501c3, I believe. It is a nonprofit corporation. I don't know if it's C3, C6, whatever, but I think it's C3.
So they have all the liability stuff taken care
taxes
of?
Taxes and all of that stuff.
They wouldn't have to.
Not for C3, but.
Well, that's true.
But they have, but they do, I mean, they. So to give you a perspective, this piece right there, that's the piece we're talking about. So
they have their.
They're currently there.
They're covered where they grow vegetables, stuff like
mm-hmm.
Right
here.
Okay.
That's on this property, yeah.
So. And then will that open
mm-hmm. Oh, you're fine.
Will that open this area up to do the same thing?
So what they were talking about was I think their big concern is really twofold. Number one is it's if we were to donate it over to them, the majority of that property it's too big for them to maintain. So that's what they thought is well, we could use prairie grass, use it for educational purposes, and be able to get over to some of this big piece of land over here because apparently the property owner has given them the authority to go utilize it for their educational classes and things like that. So, but I think the biggest issue came in where they were going to be putting a something, some kind of a structure of some sort that oh, okay, you still have that? Awesome, thank you. So, if you remember,
yeah.
That was the little structure they were going to be putting on it. And you can actually see on that beacon, you can see where they actually mow and maintain. It's onto our property, but they mow it and maintain it, that little piece as well.
So my understanding was they just want this for a passageway, and they'll make it so that they
yeah.
they'll keep mowed what they need mowed.
They'll keep
the rest,
a passageway.
And the rest
yep.
they'll make the prairie grass.
Yep, yep.
The
entry is off of here, and actually this isn't an updated picture because they've done a lot more with it. But, yeah, it's is it paved or concrete there? Or is it? Do you remember, Kelly, what their entryway is onto their current property?
We put a concrete ramp in there.
That's right, yep. So, but this was, I think that was what they wanted to do. It's not a great picture, but it's a little educational building of some sort, nothing that's, I think it's just a, yeah.
So have they partnered with the school, or is this just open to the public by invitation or request? Or?
So they, so Giving Gardens, as I understand, is they're kind of their own entity. So they hold classes regarding, you know, nature and horticulture and gardening and you know, things like that. I know they also, at the beginning of the year, beginning of the planting season, they host a, like, come out and, you know, grow, you know, learn how to plant things, all that kind of stuff. But at the end of, in the harvest season, they give a lot of vegetables out to, especially the neighbors, but really anybody in the public that want to come and get vegetables or whatever. And actually, I feel like they also give out plants as well.
Seems like
somewhere along the way, I think they give out plants as well. So again, I think that the cool thing about what they're doing is they're really trying to infuse more of the gardening aspect, the homegrown vegetable aspect, things like that, which is kind of a neat thing, and teaching kids at a young age how to do some of that stuff. And really, it just started with a bunch of volunteers and has really seems to have grown. Board of directors and everything, they got some big plans for the future, but so. So I guess I'll then make a motion that we direct our city attorney to draft up paperwork to donate this property over to Giving Gardens and include a reverter in case, you know, they would cease to exist on that property.
I'll second that.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Okay, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous, so we will. So we'll have Marcia work on that, and then obviously before anything is signed, that will come in front of you, of course. Okay, next up is pay application number 20. Rosie, do you want to touch on this at all?
Yeah, if you notice, this is actually a deduct of $34,010.85 from the project. And the balance then to finish at the 518, which I think they're okay.
Okay.
I think you forgot the last.
I was going to say, I know we approved something at the last one, so. Any questions about this? Okay, I'll make a motion that we pay contract, or I'm sorry, that we, well, I don't know how you would even say that.
Approve,
okay. I'll make a motion we approve contractor's application for payment number 19119-20 in the amount of negative $34,010.85.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion?
Where does that money go back to? Does it go back to the project?
I believe this is all through USA.
USDA.
Or USDA,
mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's all figured into that bond with them.
Yeah. So as I think at the last meeting we talked about this as well, but so any of the leftover money from our loan is put back into the loan to reduce our payment or to reduce the amount of the loan, let's say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is really just trying to square up the contract itself. So I don't think there's actual real money. I shouldn't say it that way. I don't think that, like...
It's all on paper.
It's all on paper, yes. That's the best way to think of it. Any further discussion?
Nope.
All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Bills.
I'll make a motion. We pay all accounts payable in the amount of $1,653,838.26 from the accounts payable vouchers dated 1/11/2022.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor, to the usual sign. It's unanimous.
I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $230,995.52. Plus overtime in the amount of $13,658.06 for the pay file ending 12/31/21.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous.
I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $8,800 for the first quarter clothing allowance for the pay file ending 1-7-22.
Motion second. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
And I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $70,500 for 2021 performance bonuses for the pay file ending 1-7-22.
Second.
Motion second. And further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I think I'm done.
I think you are. Thank you. As always, much appreciated. Department reports. Thomas. Department reports, Thomas.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I put on that. I'm sorry, I was distracted. We got our first burns will happen in the training facility this Friday. The manufacturer of the facility is coming up to do our preliminary burns with us, teach us what they needed to teach us for how to burn with it, what to burn, how much, and all that. So we're hoping to do anywhere from 7 to 8 burns on Friday. If anybody wants to stop by and observe, you're more than.
Do you say that you're burning the Crowder when you do that?
Burning the Crowder.
Burning the Crowder. Sorry, go ahead. Poor joke. Go ahead.
No, it's funny. Other than that, just pretty much the way things are, pretty much on target to in the first of the year.
Okay.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought there.
That's okay. Question, Tom? Thank you. Kelly?
We had the boring contractor thought they went through one of our sewers. Got the televising equipment out last week, or earlier this week. That was last week. And had to verify that they didn't go through it.
Which they didn't.
They didn't.
Okay.
That was a good thing.
That is a good thing.
I guess they're figuring it's groundwater. Okay. Mike was up there and tested it for chlorine. No chlorine on it. So, but it all worked out.
Yep.
And then we hauled piles from uptown. Just been dealing with some call-ins a little bit for slick conditions here and there. And working with the new guys on doing some training on the jet machine and televising equipment in the shop this week. And they have their CDO coming up next month. They'll be both got their permits, and they'll be doing driving tests next week, the end of the month.
Great. Question to Kelly. Thank you, Mike.
We took deliverance of our Vactor truck first of the year. I think tonight's going to be the first night we're going to get to use it because we got a main breakup on Hill Drive. Also, we got our meter test table in, and we're getting that hooked up.
Good. Questions of mine? Thank you. Terry?
excuse me. SDS was in last week to confirm that the new internet connection we got from Mediacom is up and running for the free Wi-Fi that we're going to have at the park and the pool and downtown. In reference to that project, they're still waiting on some access points to come in. They're back ordered, and we're not sure when they're going to come in. The Duo Mobile project is moving back along now since our NAS that was crashing last week. We finished up with that for the most part. So I was installing Duo Mobile on several of the computers left to do, and then we will move to the email. That's it. All we got tonight.
Questions to Terry? Thank you. Herman?
excuse me. Our last meeting was on December 15th for the Youth Council. We went to Grace Lutheran Church for Kitty Christmas, and we built gingerbread houses with the kids. And we went to lunch, and we toured the water department to see how the water is filtered and cleaned.
Questions? Carmen, do you want to introduce yourself, your name, your year in school?
So I'm Carmen Brown. I'm a sophomore in high school, and I'm one of the members on the Youth Council, and yeah.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Sean?
Well, we got the Christmas lights off, the big Christmas tree on the holiday tree on the courthouse.
Courthouse Square. Those were all taken down. It did get cold enough finally for us to pull the yard and get those out, so that was, I guess we needed that. You know, I don't like the cold weather. One thing we've been working on, and I don't know how much we've shared, but we're working on putting together a large industrial power rate. So if someone came in and wanted to, say, put a 10-megawatt system, 5-megawatt system in, we could have competitive rates. Right now, all we have is an industrial rate, which is geared quite for that pass-through type of billing that you would need for a large industrial rate, say an Amazon or an SDI or something like that. So we've gotten some interest from some people. Working with INPA, Economic Development, has been great. They're turning people our way, and they like our community. They like our electric infrastructure where it's at. So I'll be traveling to Carmel to meet with Buzz Krim on Thursday to kind of make sure that we set a rate that's competitive, but that's still beneficial to our city and our electric department. And ultimately, we could bring in a $50 million investment that helps everybody. So just kind of working through that. Something we've never done before, so I've got the mayor and Chip both helping me on that. It's been a very trying, difficult project, but because we want to compete. We don't want to stay stagnant, so hopefully we can get that hammered out this week. Obviously, we've approved the North Substation Entry Project. All the material we needed to provide is already here. Thank you guys for that. We have the circuit breakers. We've got the bypass switch is already here. So we were able to order that months ago to get ready for this project, which is awesome. So they should be starting probably this spring on at least part of the project. So looking forward to that. We have all the material for our North Main Street lighting project has now been delivered as well. We are going to send that out for bid in February. We'll have a contractor come in. They'll pour wire on both sides of State Road 9 from North Street to US 30. They'll put concrete bases in. These decorative black poles will go on top of those. There will be no more wires across the street, no more leading poles. We've been trying to do this for 5 years, so it's exciting to actually get to start on the project. We're hoping to award that bid in March. I did receive word that the chassis for the digger derrick truck that we ordered 10 months ago is on its way to the facility at Altec. That'll take 2 to 3 months to build, so hopefully come March 9th as well, we'll be looking at doing an inspection and get the delivery of a digger derrick truck that's much needed. Of that, we've got dozens and dozens of other projects. Those are the major ones.
Questions, Tom? Thank you. Chip?
A couple updates. Westgate, we are having a community meeting January 24th at 7 p.m. if any of you guys are interested. We got the DNR Next Level Trails grant finally completed. They came back with a couple issues and then a couple more issues, but we had all the answers, so we're really happy about that. Redevelopment Commission today, we were actually excited. They're going to start drafting up a request for proposals for the property at North Line Street and West Jackson Street. So, other than that,
question to Chip. Thank you. Marcia?
Nothing, and sorry I'm late. I have a home that's flooded. My water pipe broke, so I'm sort of dealing with a mess, and I said, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Believe me, there are worse things. It'll be fine.
Ruthie, what you got for us?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you got something.
Oh, yeah.
So in front of you is what I'm bringing over here is the Columbia Plaza second edition flat. Walt, I believe, if I remember correctly, this went in front of the Planning Commission. This is for the Columbia Plaza Shopping Center. Also, we're basically just so you know where the Aldi is being remodeled and soon will be open. Basically, I don't know if you can kind of see this, but basically what they're doing is separating the two lots so that the Aldi here is on by itself, basically, and then the other shopping plaza and parking lot are kind of all together as well. So it's a replat, isn't it, Chip?
Yes.
I don't know why we're getting feedback in the microphones, but communication feedback of some sort. I don't know why, but something's on it. So, anyways, that's the plot. So it was brought to us, I think, with the unanimous approval from the Planning Commission.
Correct. They're going to continue to share the parking lot area, but their attempts is that Aldi's will purchase it from them.
There's a lot of upgrades going to happen to the parking lot, you know, striping, you know, I'm assuming it's asphalt, and I remember Dan asking about the potholes, but overall, I think the goal is to make it very presentable to the community.
Yeah, I think y'all's investment's a big deal, and I think their hope is that will then spur more investment in that southern piece, which... Chip and I have already been talking to somebody who has an interest in there. So, okay, I'll make a motion. We approve Columbia Plaza, second edition plat, as presented.
Second.
Motion second. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous.
Special.
You're signing that, I'll give a couple of reports here. You said you don't have anything else, right, Rosie? Okay. A couple of reports from people who are gone. Police chief said the insurance companies are still reviewing Officer Cook's vehicle crash, trying to get a resolution for actual dollar amount we're going to get back for the vehicle there. Patrolling for presence was a hit with the children and families, and there are still kind of gifts for the families that were unable to attend. And those gifts are at the communication window here at City Hall. They've used the drone a couple of times, and thanks to PDQ and Sites Medical for their donation. It's a great tool in addition to the department. And then they're updating policies and SOPs. On the dispatch side, they did hire Megan Cotter for the new dispatcher to replace the dispatcher position there. And new chairs have arrived and are being used, and they're working on SOPs there. From the Parks Department, they started organizing the new barn, and it's been a really exciting game changer for them. Thankful for their new environment. Father-daughter dance is going to be held on February 4th and 5th this year, and they've started selling tickets. As of Friday, they had sold 250 of the 850. So, off to a roaring start as always. I just keep telling dads, go get your ticket. You don't want to be that guy that's left out, trust me. Mm-hmm. Mama will be mad. And then baseball and softball registration will begin on January 24th. Online registration only for that. Mike Cook said that Christmas decorations have been taken down and stored. They are working on the year-end files and IDEM reports. We have a teleconference tomorrow with IDEM regarding the agreed order on the toxicity. And then they're also working on the RFQ for the Force Main project. As you may remember, that's kind of the next project they're going to work on is Force Main. Besides that,
where is the dance?
Dance is at the 4-H Center. So,
that was going to be my guess.
Yeah. Only building that can hold that large of a crowd for two straight nights. Let's say it that way. So.
Right.
Besides that, just a lot of things happening as it always is, but more specifically, we've been working, like Sean said, on the economic development project there, and lots of other things. We've met with Waste Management today to kind of figure out when we're going to do junk junk pickup days. So that information, there, we're checking calendars. That information should be going out here in the near future. So, yeah, good things happening. Walt?
Just like to say, it's good to be back. Been gone for about 6 weeks, off and on, and it's amazing. You know, your mind's always wondering what's going on. But again, thank you for your support, and I sure appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. Nicole?
I have nothing.
We have no press here. Anybody from the audience want to speak? Okay, then we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.